is going to come up and going to share our Bible reading this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's good to be back to my church family.
I've been with my other family in France. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But it's nice to be back to my church family. I'm reading from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 23. And a lot of you may know this story very well, but can I just encourage you to listen? The parable of the sower. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where all produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And at verse 18, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Amen.
You know, we've talked, haven't we, about how over the autumn in church we're going for discipleship. That's what we're going for. We're going to look and discover more of what it means to be with Jesus. Look at more of what it means to become like Jesus, and to look more at what it means to do as Jesus did in this world today. That's what we're going for in the autumn. And I hope as many of you as possible want to join in, especially through the Practice in the Way course. But as I was thinking about it, I thought to myself, if this is going to happen in our church in this next period of time, then alongside that, I think we'll also have to know that the battle will also be on. What I mean by that is, through my experience as a Christian over the years, When people start to pursue God more, when they start to pursue more of what it means to follow Jesus, then often they'll come under attack because of it. My illustration is probably from last Saturday. Last Saturday we were here, we took my mum to Llandudno. And we had a nice day walking around Llandudno. The sea was there and lots of people, seagulls were around and stuff like that. And it was nice. But as it got towards tea time, obviously, fish and chips, isn't it? So we went to the fish and chip shop just near the pier. And as I got my fish and chips, suddenly I came under attack. I was dive bombed. I was, you know, they were coming up. Really, these seagulls were just, you know. We'd been there all day. Seagulls were around. No, they didn't bother me. They were there. They were, look, there's a nice seagull. But when I had the chips, my God, we had to. In fact, we couldn't eat them where we were going to eat them, because it just felt we were like this all the time, and it was just we had to move around the back slightly, just so we could eat our chips in peace. I just think it's a little bit like that, you know. If we're going to start to do things for God, if we're going to start to pursue God more, if we're going to start to look at really what it means to be this thing called Christian, disciple of Jesus, then it's like suddenly we get the chips and then we come under attack because of it. If you're not bothered about that, if you don't want to go for Jesus more, if you don't want more of what it means to follow him, you'll be fine. You won't be under too much pressure. But if you do want to pursue God more, and I felt it was important that I need to warn you about that. For Christians, as we look to move more from believer to disciple, then we're going to come under the attack. The other illustration is it's like going over the top, isn't it? When you're like those kind of war illustrations. If you're in the trenches, you're probably okay. But as you step over the top, then the bullets are flying. Suddenly a bigger target is on your back. So I felt it was appropriate just to remind people today, really, of three areas where the attack might come from. And I want to use this parable that Jesus told of the sower who sowed some seed. Just so you can say, well, you know, I did kind of warn you, I suppose. Verse 3 of chapter 13 says this. Jesus starts his parable. And don't forget, a parable is a story with meaning. He's not telling a bedtime story for the fun of it. He's telling a story to bring teaching and something into our lives. And he says, there was a farmer and he went out to sow his seed. The seed in this story represents the word of God, the truth of God. So, for example, when the Bible reading was just read to us by Pauline, kingdom seed was scattered among you in this place. You realize that? As Pauline read the words of Scripture, the seeds of the kingdom of God, the truth of God's word, were scattered in this place. And we're told that as seed is scattered, it lands in people's lives. And when it lands in people's lives, four things might happen to it. A story I know a number of you know really well. But the first thing it says, that some of the seed could land on what in the parable Jesus called the path, verse 4. And he scattered the seed, some along the path, and the birds came, it says, and ate it up. The birds in the parable represents the devil. You know what? The devil's first and foremost activities, he doesn't want people to know at all the true and living God. He doesn't want people to become Christians. He doesn't want people to know that there is forgiveness in Christ. He doesn't want people to know that you can receive God's grace and God's love. He doesn't want people in this world to know that they can have a relationship with the living God, their creator. God's enemy doesn't want that. And in John 12, verse 40, it's really clear. It says these, Their eyes are blinded, their hearts are hardened, so that they wouldn't see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts and turn to me, God, so I could heal them. You know, the enemy of God doesn't want people to know God. But I'm very conscious that actually lots of you here have moved into that relationship with God. He's not stopped that. Somehow, you know, you've found a relationship with Jesus yourselves. But also, when people choose to become a follower of Jesus, as many of you are here, a Christian, then I believe that the devil's aim is to try and snatch away God's word in us. To try and stop God's word growing in our lives. Because you see, the enemy knows that when God's word grows in your lives, it will transform you. It will empower you. It will bring confidence. It will bring assurance. It will set you free. It will bring fruit. So the enemy of God wants to snatch away that word. He doesn't want it to grow because it knows that when it does grow, it transforms us more into Christ likeness. God's word is a bit like spinach to Popeye. Do you know what I mean? That when he eats it, it transforms him and it empowers him, doesn't he, to beat old Brutus or whatever his name was. Was it Brutus? God's word's like that. So the God's enemy, who is real, doesn't want you. See, the devil wants Christians to have a passive, casual relationship with their God, which keeps them generally ineffective in their faith. And he used tactics, temptation, distraction, lies, fear, discouragement, you name it. And he's using it now in this place because that's what he'll do. And we said so many times that we need to be aware as Christians that we are in a spiritual battle. Not to scare you, just to give you the reality of the situation. And that the seeds are sown, and if you start to pursue growth Christian faith in your life, then you will come under attack because the enemy of God will try and snatch that seed away. Because he knows that if you do pursue it and you get it, then you're a powerhouse for the kingdom in this world. The second thing Jesus says is that some of the seed falls on a rocky place or rocky places. Verses 5 and 6 say this: some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. In many ways, to me, this represents the world around us. The seed has been scattered in a person's life, the illustration is. It starts to grow in a person's life. And when we see that, don't we? We see that in people's lives in church sometimes. And we see somebody start a journey of faith and they start to seem to grow a little bit in their faith. And that's great when we see that happening in somebody's life. But there's a warning. It's that things will come along in life that will try and put that faith to the test in the world around us. There will be trials of this life. There will be troubles in this life. There will be times when it doesn't go to plan A. And some of you in that place now, you're like, what? This is not what I intended. This was not my plan A for my life. And the world will start to creep in. Jesus also talks about persecution, when our faith is actually challenged. And you know what? From my experience, when these trials come and our faith is tested, when our faith is put under pressure, two things often will happen to people. It's this: they will either walk away from God or they will lean into God. See it all the time. Things happen in the world and we have a choice. Some will walk away from God in those trials, in those tests of the world. And some will say, no, I need to lean more into God. I need more of God in my life. You know, from my experience, when the trials come, we need to be tested. That's it. We need to know that. And I think we need to, I always used to like the illustration of being like a palm tree. You know, that was quite good, because palm trees, they seem to, when the storm comes, they sway, don't they? And they bend, but they don't break. And I think that's a good illustration of what we're trying to be, because that's when our faith comes, as we stand like trees, will we bend? We might sway, that's fair enough. We might bend a little bit, but will we not break? That's what we hope, isn't it? We're encouraged to have these deep roots of faith that hold us in. Again, an illustration is like what, when you know, when climbers use, what climbers use when they go up a rock face. In fact, we dropped Adam off yesterday in Yorkshire Camps. No, we didn't drop him off. We took his stuff up yesterday to Yorkshire Camps. He was there on Wednesday. And we went past one of these big rock faces, and there was lots of climbers going up. And if you know much about climbing, which I don't, Hades not with us today, is he? He would be the one I would go to, I think. To go up the rock face, what they use, a number of things, but they use climbing cams. Cams are designed to create secure anchor points in the cracks and the pockets in the rocks, allowing climbers to hold fast and to create a safe route. And when I thought about that illustration, it's trying to ask that question, what are our faith climbing cams? What is going to hold us to the rock face? What is going to hold us when the storms come, when the world comes against us, when the tests and the pressure, what's going to hold us in to the rock face? And I think it has to be things like God's word. It has to be fellowship. It has to be prayer. It has to be living out the faith in our lives. It has to be serving. They're the things that hold us in when the tests. And persecution in itself is not always a bad thing. In fact, it can be positive. Romans 5 says, not only so, but we will also glorify in our suffering, because we know the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You know, persecution itself in the world, we're very fortunate at the level of persecution that we face. I know some of the guys on Thursday night watched the Open Doors video again about persecution across the world for Christians, and the suffering that they're under, the intense pressure. And yet we complain if somebody, you know, moans that we go to church. But persecution is there, and it can bring strength to our character and faith as well. So don't always ignore it. The third thing the Bible tells us is that some of the seed lands on thorns. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And I think for me, this is a little bit like the flesh. You know that Bible reading that Pauline read for us? As you move on a little bit, there's another parable. It's called the parable of the weeds. And I remember reading this a while ago and God really speaking to me through it. Let me just read this parable to you as well. Jesus told them another parable. So this is straight after the parable of the sower. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came in and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go out and pull them up? No, he answered. Because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell you, the harvesters first collect the weeds and then tie the bundles up to be burnt. Then they gather up the wheat to bring them into the barn. You might think, well, what's that all about? Well, when he was on, for me, it's about seed and wheat. Sorry, weeds and seeds or wheat growing up together. When we were on holiday, we were on a beach at one point, and we saw some students, and they were playing a game. It's one of those games where you get inside like this huge ball, bubble ball. Have you seen them? They're like massive inflatable, and then you get right inside them. And the idea was that they played this kind of game of football. They weren't really playing a game of football. They were just bashing into each other and trying to knock each other flying, to be honest with you. But it was safe. It was fine. It was a bit of fun. They didn't get hurt, I don't think. But in this world, Christians don't live in a protective bubble. I think what this parable that I've just read to you tells us is that we live in this imperfect world alongside everyone else. With all its problems, with all its concerns, with all its mess, with all its hardship, with all its issues. You don't become a Christian and then God suddenly puts you in some sort of nice, comfortable bubble where nothing bad around you, nothing the world, your world is perfect now and always happy and pleasant and all that. No. What this the Bible tells us is, as we live in the world, as God's people, as the seed of our faith grows, then it also, we live among the world around us, which is a bit messy and a bit with all its stuff. And Jesus highlights two particular thorns that sometimes grow. One is worry. See, when we worry, when we're anxious, what it does often is it takes our eyes off Jesus. Because the distraction is to look at the thing that we're worried about and concerned about, and it can consume us rather than taking it our eyes to our big God. The other thing Jesus says is like a thorn is deceitfulness of wealth. And I think he's not just talking about wealth, I think he's talking about idols, things that we put in front of God in our lives. When we start to put other stuff in front of God in our lives, then actually those things grow and begin to choke our faith in our lives. We need to be careful that these thorns, these things that grow up in the world around us, which we're going to be part of, don't choke our faith. Don't take away the growth of what God is trying to do in our faith, in our lives. And the answer is to build a strong and healthy faith that anchors us in, brings security, helps us to keep our focus on the right things. Because the fourth thing is, it says some of the seed fell on good soil. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. And then it says, whoever has ears, let him hear. Did Jesus have a dry sense of humour? Ears of corn? Ho, ho, ho. I think if my Emma was with Jesus when he said that, she'd roll her eyes at him and say, really, Jesus? Whoever has ears, let him hear. But the good soil represents people who hear the message and live it in their lives, who build a strong faith and remain dedicated to worshipping God and living a Christian lifestyle even when things are difficult. To put it another way, discipleship. To live as disciples of Jesus Christ. I think it's a real important parable because it prepares us. If we look at it and we think about it, it warns us, and we need to know that these things will happen against us. And I feel, to quote a great theologian, Phil Collins, when I read this passage, it feels like we're against the odds, against all odds. See, when you read this passage, only one in four of the seeds make it. That's what it seems to suggest. Some seeds fell on this, that doesn't, that on the path, they get the birds come, the devil takes the seed away. Some seed falls on the thorns, and it's choked away. But only one out of the four make it. Only one falls on the good soil and produces fruit. So in some ways, when I read that, perhaps it's not surprising when we see people falling away from faith. When we see Christians who, or people who we think, oh, look, they've got faith, look, something's starting to grow in their lives or whatever, and then it goes away. They don't continue on. They don't grow in that faith. But I tell you what, when you do see that, it's blimmin' frustrating and it's really disappointing. When you see seed being sown in this world, in people's lives, and it gets snatched away, or the world takes it, or the sun, or the troubles of life means that they walk away from it. My goodness, it's frustrating and it's really disappointing. And we've seen it. I was thinking about some of this. COVID, when we had COVID, obviously you know what COVID is, and we tried to block it out, but we did. There was this real momentum around how much, obviously the church in COVID had to go online. And there was this real excitement that actually lots of people were engaging in church that wouldn't normally engage in church because church had gone online. We ourselves went on YouTube and everything else. And you got this, the statistics were telling us that there's loads more people who are now engaging in church online, but not before they were in the building. And which is great. That is to be celebrated. And I pray that some of the seeds of that online ministry grew in people's lives. But I used to meet with some church leaders after COVID. And many of the church leaders would say, well, about 2/3 of our church have come back. But about 1/3 have not come back. And I thought to myself, how gutting that is. That somehow COVID, during that COVID time, the seed of their faith had been, had been snatched away. And it happened. And it's frustrating. And it's disappointing. We were fortunate here. There wasn't many, I don't think. We worked hard. We doorstepped and we tried to keep in touch and all like that. But there was a few who were in our church before COVID. But when COVID went away, they didn't come back to church. Didn't come back into fellowship. Such a shame. So disappointing. And I was thinking about other people. Someone used to come who in our church, and they were very committed to church life, very involved, grew up in church, had roles in church, but had a family, and then their son started playing football on a Sunday morning. And I remember him coming up to me saying, I'm not going to come to church for about the next 6 months because I have to take my son to church, to football on a Sunday morning. And then they said, but it won't be every week because sometimes the games are rained off, so I'll come when the games are rained off. And it's not every week, so I will come occasionally. But then after 6 months, he's going to play for a different side and they play on a Saturday, so then it'll be back to normal. And I'm like, okay. 3 years later, I've never seen them in church. And I know they don't go to church. So disappointing. So frustrating. Do you see how the seed gets snatched away from people's lives? There was someone in this church who was here for years. And they used to come every week. And they must have sat through hundreds of, I think, good church services. Good worship, good words, sat in church, were part of church. 1 week they came and they heard a message that they disagreed with and didn't really like the style of it. So then stopped coming to church. What's it all about? So disappointing. The seed of the kingdom of God is snatched away. I mean, people that used to come to our church and they moved away. For right reasons, people have to move sometimes, they've got a job somewhere else or whatever, but they were solely committed into our church, they moved away, you encouraged them, moved away but never found a church and don't go anymore. Go on. Seeds have been robbed and stolen by the world, by the flesh, by the devil, and we need to be aware of it. There are people probably not here this morning because it's raining. And the devil said to them, you'll get wet if you go to church. And they'll go, yeah, you're right. Maybe I'll just give it a miss this week. Because the enemy doesn't. Where would the enemy want them this morning? At home? Having a sleep in? Or in church, sat under God's word? We know where God wants them. Do you see what I mean? The battle is on. And we need to know and be aware of this because we're going to have to fight. If we're going to pursue God more, if we're going to know what it means more to be a follower of Jesus. You know, we're going for discipleship. The battle will be on. And the battlegrounds are there. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, another way of thinking as I finished, another way of thinking about these verses is the four conditions of our hearts. We could think the path is a bit like having a hard heart. A heart that's hard towards the things of God growing in our lives. Because when the seed falls on a hard heart, it's so easy for the enemy of God to snatch it away. The other type of heart could be a rocky heart, or we could say it's a bit like having a shallow heart. No deep roots of faith. So that when trouble comes and testing comes, the seed is taken away. You could say the heart is like a crowded heart, which is a bit like the thorns. What I mean is like the world and the flesh is just getting in the way so much. It's crowding the good seed that's growing in our lives. It's crowding it out and it's choking it because our heart is so crowded with other stuff. Or is our heart like the good soil? Is it cultivated? Is it in a place ready to receive the word of God so that the seed of God might grow in our lives and it might produce fruit for the kingdom of God in our lives? We're pursuing discipleship. But be warned, we're in a battle because the enemy of God does not want any of us to grow deeper in our relationship with God. He doesn't want us to be more like Jesus in this world because we know that people whose lives are sold into Jesus, trying to be like Jesus in this world in which they live, he would say that it's his ground, but we're just taking it. But it's not, it's God's ground in the first place. We're just taking it back. So beware that you're in a battle and fight. And if we can help you to fight, we will. But don't let the world or the flesh or the devil beat you. Let the God of all glory give you the strength to win so that, come on, we can have some amazing testimonies going forward from what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Amen. We're just going to respond to that in a second, but we're going to sing before we do. And I just wanted to use a song that just puts us before God. It's a song, Jesus. You know, I prepared my service over the week and I had a certain response that I was going to bring today to around discipleship again, because obviously that's my heart. But I felt I wanted to respond differently today to the message. Because I am so frustrated and disappointed when the enemy takes the seed away from people's lives. And there are people on my heart, even in this church, that I'm like, it frustrates me. So I thought we need to respond, because there will be people on your heart that you know that had seed sown in them at some point. But somewhere along the line, the world, the flesh, or the devil has taken that seed away. And I want us to fight for them. And the best way we fight is through prayer. And I want to just claim them again for God, because the good news is God will often, you know, he'll still pursue, because he pursues us, and he'll still pursue them, And in our, you know, and he'll use our prayers to fuel that pursuit. I do believe that. So I thought, let's just claim some of these people again that we know that maybe they were part of church, maybe they grew up in a church, and the seed, you know, of they knew something of God, but somewhere along the line, something happened. Maybe trouble came. Maybe they changed jobs. They used to come on a Sunday, and now they don't come on a Sunday because their jobs, they work on a Sunday, so they don't go to church. There's all kinds of tricks and things out there that the enemy uses and the world uses to try and push us away from our faith. Yet faith has to be number one in our lives. So I'm going to claim them. I'm going to say, come on, God, I want them back. I want, you know, we talk about the prodigals, don't we? The prodigal son. They could be somewhere out there, not even sure what's going on, but we're going to claim them. That somehow, when, like the prodigal son, when he was in the pigsty, some revelation of God said, you need to go back home. Could we pray that wherever those people are that we care and love about, that we're saying, could they have that revelation, that tug of the heart of God, that to even says to them again, you need to go back home. You need to go back to God. So I thought we'd just pray for them. What I thought I'd do is I put the cross up, and I've got some post-it notes, and I've got some pens, and I thought we'd sing. Maybe could we sing I Speak Jesus again? Because that talks about praying over our families, doesn't it, and our friends. And that'd be many of you that will be carrying family members and friends. That's what that means. And I thought as we sing this song, maybe for some of you just want to come out, put an initial or a name, and then just put it on the cross as just a kind of an act of, come on, I'm fighting for these people. Not letting the enemy, not letting the world, not letting the flesh rob these people from the goodness of what God has got for them. And we're just going to put our names, put them on there, and we're going to just pray for them. That something of the kingdom of heaven hits them somewhere, wherever they are, even now, and turns their heart around. That they walk somehow, they find their way back. Yes, to church, because it's often a place where they need to be, but more so to Jesus. And I think some of them say, well, I already know Jesus, but yeah, you knew him. But he's just become part of something in the rest of who you are. I still have a faith, they say sometimes when you talk to them. Yeah, but that faith needs to be alive. And if it's important to you, one of the things you need to be is in fellowship, because the Bible says we need to never stop meeting together as people. I say, oh, I can go it solo without you. No, you can't. Your faith's not where it needs to be. Come home. Come home. So we're going to sing the song. If you want to come and, as we sing, just sing the song. If you want to come and write a name, put it on the cross, and then we're just going to pray. And we're going to say, let's change the odds a little bit today in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we sing and then come out as you feel you'd like to. Presented here on those pieces of paper. He knows our heart for those people. And you know, I was thinking there's frustration in my heart, and there's love in my heart, and our desire is not, it's just that these people just discover the, like we're trying to do, discover more of Jesus. And, you know, some of these are prodigals, and we just want them to come home, don't we? And maybe it's, you know, just maybe we just need to make a bit more of a commitment to continue to pray for them daily, not just today as we stick a post-it note on and think, oh, I've done it now, see what happens. Let's keep persevering, keep praying. I believe that, doors and windows open at different points in people's lives, and when the window and the doors open, if the prayers of the saints are there, then God gets into those places. Seen it many times. Husbands that you just think never going to find faith, and a door opens in the life and God gets in. Children you think have just wandered off, and then that's it, no way. And the door opens, and God puts somebody in front of them somewhere, and suddenly there's an opportunity for the seeds again to grow and be cultivated. So we're going to battle, aren't we, for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we're conscious that as we step forward to be your people, Lord, that actually We do face opposition in all kinds of ways. We know that the enemy, the devil, will try and steal away the seed of you in our lives, because he knows that when seed grows in a Christian's lives, we become effective and more powerful for the kingdom's purposes in this world. But we also know that there are temptations of the flesh and the world around us that will come and will try and get in the way and choke away and damage our relationship with you. And we need to be aware, and we need to fix into the things that we need to keep us strong. Get those clams in the wall of faith. That whatever comes against us, the world around us, the temptations, the persecution, the distractions of the world, Lord, that we've got plenty of those clams hanging on to the faith. So if one slips, we've still got another one and another one. So that we're safe and we keep going, hanging on to you, and then keep moving forward. But we're conscious, God, that there are people that where the seed has landed and even started to grow and even borne fruit in it, but somehow along the way, something has taken that seed of faith, has squashed it, or taken it in a person's life. And Lord, many of them have got these names represented here on this cross. But it's important that they're on the cross, because we know the cross is a place of victory. And so we're claiming victory for each of these people today. Lord, would you bring them back home? Would you break into their hearts wherever they are today, this week, whatever, whenever way you can, Lord, would you convict them of your reality of you in their lives, Lord? Would you show them who you are? Would you give them a revelation, like the prodigal in the pigsty, that somebody says, well, hang on a minute, this isn't right. I need to go back to my dad, my heavenly father. Lord, would you do it? Would you use our prayers today? Would you also perhaps, maybe for some of us, we need to do something else. We need to send a text. We need to invite them to something. We could be part of the plan of bringing them home. Would you show us, give us courage and confidence? Lord, we're frustrated, but we want the odds to turn. And we don't want to lose people. We don't want to see people wandering away. Lord, we're claiming these names. Lord, may they come back to you in the fullness of faith. May they discover what it means to know you deeply, to live with you now and into eternity. Each person we claim in the precious and the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on. It's a battle.